Would you like to be invited to play a part in an event which is designed to stir up enthusiasm among young people for technology, for business, and for the connection between technology and business? Would you like to be invited to play a part in that? I mean, would you like to be invited to invest 2 days of your life in that? And to, for example, be given responsibility for taking over, or to be one of the people who will take over an airport, an international airport, and take over the ground concourse of it and do all sorts of things, including use a machine from a company called Nokia which dispenses blue sweets. I mean, would you like to do that? You know, how would you feel about the prospect of stopping everything else you have in your mind except that and dedicating 2 days of your life to the future of Irish young people? I'm not sure what I mean by young, because to be truthful, I don't know the age of, you know, what young people means as a language, and I don't really understand what an American blow-in from America, I think Arizona actually originally, but I'm not 100% sure about that, Bernie Goldbach, I can't think why he, well, I can think, to be fair, why he's doing this, but he knows more than me. The Irish Technology Leadership Group, ITLG, no doubt, very quickly to everybody, you know, thereby with its acronym. But as far as I'm concerned, it's Irish people doing technology and becoming leaders. People who will lead. So young people who will lead the society of Ireland into the future in the area of technology. Well, I mean, if this was Google, and it was technology we were talking about, and leadership in technology, in fact, it would not so much a few years later be leadership in technology, but it would be leadership full stop. Because just about, let's say, 50% of all curious people in Ireland, 50% of them, use Google to satisfy their curiosity. Now, I made up that statistic on the spot. So if while you're listening to me, you made up a different statistic or you don't agree with this statistic, but you actually have some evidence for your point of view, then please attach it to the comment section underneath this audio boo. Please tell me I've grossly overestimated the number of people in Ireland. Now, I haven't said, you know, how young is young, and in my experience, certainly my own 8-year-old daughter knows exactly what Google does and treats Google as if Google were a conventional old-fashioned encyclopedia, but actually a much better one, because it's you can get YouTube on via Google and so on. But the Irish Technology Leadership Group, 2 days at the end of January 2014, should I give up 2 days of my life? Well, that's the dilemma, and that's the issue. So how would I make a decision? I could decide that, look, I'll do it, provided that I don't get an offer from a better client who will pay me money. But that could be it, and I could say, well, I won't make up my final mind until about the 20th of January. Or else, you know, I might decide, well, yes, I'll say yes now, but I reserve the right to be, if I'm offered a paying gig the day before, that I ring up Bernie Goldbach and say, sorry, Bernie, can't do it. You know, we have an agreement. You have to have somebody else to do it other than me. I could adopt that kind of an approach, a very transactional approach. In some situations, no one would blame me. I mean, many's the time when I actually have willingly and wholeheartedly agreed to do something with somebody, and we've agreed that, look, if you get a piece of work, a client on that day, and I get a client on that day, or one of us gets a client on that day, no sweat, we just simply reschedule. Well, that's okay between individuals, right? That's not a problem, as we know. But when you think of a large number, and I don't know what large is in this case, I mean, the idea of taking over an airport, a public space, and doing stuff to do with tech and leadership and young people, I mean, you don't get that kind of an event happening every day of the week. So it's not like as if we can say, oh, look, you know, the next one I'll do it. And by the time the next one comes about to do it, I might be dead. You know, we know not the day nor the hour. That was how I was brought up. You know, my father and mother, you know, really, I now realize, I mean, I never kind of gave them much credit for this, but I now realize that they drummed into me at a really, really early age, you know, that I should live in the now and not say, well, I'll come to the next one. You know, and I've been guilty of that, and others have been practiced at saying, look, I can't come to this meeting, but I'd like to come to the next one. You know, and of course what we all mean is we hope there will be a next one and we hope that we will be around. But to a certain extent, voicing the thing, I'll come to the next one, you know, as you know, within the framework of assuming that there will be a next one, is a way of not living in the now. So there we are. Look, I'm going off in several tangents within the same audio loop. But okay, there's a couple of approaches that I might adopt. But is there any other approach I might adopt, which isn't transactional at all? Okay, let me give you one that is different than the one I've just outlined. Supposing I were to say to myself, what's your purpose in life, Paul? What's your reason for living? If you had to sum it up in a lift and somebody was getting out of the lift in the next 20 seconds, what is your purpose in life? Well, I tell you mine. And I mean, this is as good an expression of it as I will ever make, and it is to leave the world a better place than it was when I joined it. To leave the world a better place. That's all. Well, how could I use that personal stance, that personal cause? And by the way, you will find that cause, that particular cause, reflected on the website of a company called Change Agents Branding. And this isn't meant to be, but it is a bit of advertising for my business. But that's about as strong as the advertising gets. The point is that it's consistent throughout all of the places where I spend time. I am searching and grappling and doing my very best to leave the world a better place. I might be misguided, mistaken, I might be a lousy calculator of the odds, I might have a way of doing it which it doesn't win me the hearts and minds of enough people. I might be a cranky old bastard, but I still want to leave the world a better place. So, could the idea of leaving the world a better place fit in with the Irish Technology Leadership Group and, you know, the kind of guerrilla marketing? I mean, it isn't really guerrilla marketing because it's been publicised in advance. It isn't being done on the day and it doesn't have... But for some people, it'll have shock value, taking over the bottom of a hotel. And if it so happens that there were, you know, a whole crowd of, we'll say, visitors from North America passing through Shannon. To be honest, I don't know whether they do pass through Shannon anymore, but they certainly used to. Or even French, or even Chinese for that matter. Wouldn't they get a shock if they found a whole load of young people and corporates like Nokia? And I don't know who else would be involved in this, but if it's technology, it has to have, you know, the support of, you know, companies that are trying to humanize their operation by actually showing that technology connects with people. I mean, technology, Nokia are not about making phones. Nokia do not make phones. Nokia make people happy. That's, I think, what Nokia are a happiness-making machine. That's really what Nokia think they're doing. They happen to be make phones as well. Okay, another technology company, which wasn't a technology company at all. Apple built a whole campaign around that. And the wonderful guy called Sendak, is he Michael Sendak or something like that, went to TED and did the most extraordinary 16 minutes on the topic of, you know, why you do something. So the reason I'm doing anything is to leave the world a better place than it was. So could that help me in deciding whether I should take up the invitation, which flatters me, to actually be a join the team of people setting up or running this day? I mean, I'm a mad raving extrovert. I don't mind admitting that, really, in truth. Consequently, you give me an opportunity to do a speaking gig anywhere and I'll do it, you know. Name your price, I'll be there, you know, that kind of thing. I do actually love practicing the art of public speaking, which means I, and even more than that, I love the art of public facilitation. In other words, give me a crowd of 100 people in a space and ask me to facilitate an experience and I'll bite your hand off. I mean, I'll almost pay you to get me to do it because I love, love, love doing that. And I've learned how to do it. And, you know, whether I'm any good at it is for others to join, but I, to judge, but I have all the confidence that somebody would have not to spend the whole morning before doing it sitting on the loo or throwing up, as Maureen Potter used to do before she went on stage every day, Ireland's greatest female comedian or comedienne, whichever you prefer, you know, probably the greatest of all time, dead now, rest in peace. So it's actually quite normal to throw up. So to have nerves before you go in and do public facilitation is totally normal. I get very worried if I don't. But on the other hand, it's the most delightful experience I could ask. So Bernie Goldback has, you know, invited me privately and publicly now through his audiobook to do it. But should I do it? The other thing is that I have a track record of already of associating myself with technology. I mean, at a crude level, the few things that come into my head is I went to the Dublin Web Summit 2 years in a row. I've been absolutely keen on the web in Paris, although I haven't gone there. I've interviewed people who've come back from there. You know, these are required part of the fact I use technology. I use modern smartphones. I use those kind of things. In fact, you know, I wouldn't be able to live without technology. But in addition to that, I recently went to what in effect was part of Science Week Ireland in Cork, called Discovering, or I always forget whether it's Discovering or Discovery, I think it's Discovery 2013. And I interviewed Marcella Whelan for that, and I also interviewed the Irish Army, but that's another story on their use of technology. So I have a track record of associating myself with, and not just associating myself in the sense that, you know, product placement, I get myself photographed alongside the latest smartphone in order to kind of hook people. No, I have a passionate determination to spend time with people in the technology arena. And I have an 8-year-old daughter who I'm very, very keen, you know, will not be prejudiced or in any way disadvantaged in terms of her education as a mathematical, scientific, engineering, and, you know, computer user person. I mean, for all I know, she might end up a coder. And that's why, for example, I've brought her to Coder Dojo. So, I mean, if I think about this invitation from Bernie Goldback, it's one more opportunity to do what my past has been littered by. I mean, I have been walking the walk in the area of young people and technology. I mean, I don't want to put myself up on any kind of pedestal, because Bernie Goldback is the guy who should be on a pedestal, because he spends, as far as I can see, massive amounts of his time linking with people who are professionally involved in helping young people to understand, use, and be positive about technology. I mean, Bernie Goldback is a significant player in that in Ireland. And however significant he is, he's connected with, you know, people who are even more significant. I don't know who those people are. I mean, does Bernie Goldback have an ongoing close relationship with Liam Casey, for example? Or Pat Phelan? And Liam Casey is the inventor and leader and owner of a company, I think it's called PCH, which manufactures in China and employs huge numbers of people out there, and he's right up there at the top of the technology area, a company that Ireland can be proud of And he's also connected with the Tyndall National Institute. And in a kind of way, I'm associated with the Tyndall National Institute, so I forgot to mention that one too. So this is all, you know, becoming... Okay, so there's two approaches to a request, you know. Work out if you can make money in any, you know, make sure that you're there to make your money and say that you'll do it in marginal time. The other is to do it because it is part of your central raison d'être. And I mean that as big as possible. You know, your legacy, what you're going to leave behind you, is an example of somebody, in my case, who has done his best, we will say. We'll give him that. Who is, not to say he was successful, but who has done his best to... done his best to make the world a better place for young people. And he has, you know, been associated with technology in that respect, but he's also became a poet for that reason, let us say. So, in fact, everything he does, he goes on holidays in order to make life better for young people. I mean, most parents do that. They go on holidays in order to make life better for young people. That's part of their mission in life. At a certain stage, they even give up. We even give up on going to where we want to go ourselves. And we go where we know our children would like to go. Isn't that right? Okay. What else can I say? Nothing, really, except that, you know, should I or should I not? I mean, I'd like to know whether you think I should, whether you think that given everything I've just said, and actually bearing in mind the weight, because I went on a lot longer about the sort of visionary approach to decision making, but not undermining or not denigrating in any way, you know, the approach that says, look, Paul, your number one priority is to put a roof over your head and give yourself and your children and your wife, if you joke, you know, enough money to be able to help other people in life. So, you know, there is a real advantage to me, I suppose, in saying that, Paul, there are 9 other things you won't have done by then, and you might actually be better spending your time working on your own website. But there's the dilemma, there's the horns of the dilemma. I'm going into a shopping centre now called Douglas, so Mr. Goldbach is very keen on beginning his audio booze with, you know, I'm sitting here with his very young child, or his young daughter. I can hear the smell of fish. Could I just ask you if you stock croissants or things like that?
Croissants we don't. No, do,
is there anywhere here that would? Do I have to go to Dunn's?
I don't know. Costa or any of those who open up the top. Costa. Or O'Brien's, they may do them.
To take away. Thanks a million. So yeah, so I'm here and I'm getting food, basic stuff, in order to be able to give the people who are coming to the workshop I'm running this morning a good experience when they arrive. So where are the croissants, Bernie Goldbach? Where are the croissants? Bye.